Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host with you on this Tuesday edition. 49ers made a couple of signings, a couple of depth pieces added to the roster Monday that we will cover on this show, and some mailbag questions. A lot of good ones, actually, and a ton of tweets, a ton of emails that want to catch up on here. So we'll get into all of that on today's show. Talk defensive line, because one of those players added to the roster is a defensive lineman. And there was an interesting tweet from Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network, who is their draft guy, former NFL scout, talking about what his dream draft was for the 49ers. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And so it's natural to talk some defensive line on today's show because of a particular prospect, Javon Kinlaw, that he outlined in his dream scenario for the 49ers draft. And I actually disagree with Daniel Jeremiah slightly on his take here for a dream 49ers draft. I would dream bigger, let's say, than what DJ did today on Twitter for the 49ers. You can follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's where a lot of these mailbag questions we'll get to that we'll cover at the end of today's show. You can email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I tried to hit some mailbag questions yesterday, and I've been trying to do a segment worth on every show here in the offseason, and I literally hit one question, and it covered the entire segment yesterday. So apologies to not getting to more. We'll get to a lot more of those questions today. We'll hit some more tomorrow with Nick as well on another Winky Wednesday episode. 49ers busy on Monday signing a pair of players, depth pieces, but guys who could see the field for the 49ers. 1 year deals for defensive lineman Kerry Hyder and linebacker Joe Walker. Let's start with the linebacker. Joe Walker, former Arizona Cardinal, 1 year contract, 27 years old. He's actually the starter, took over for Hassan Reddick. Man, Hassan Reddick, I really liked coming out of college. They ruined his career, tried to make him an off-ball standard linebacker. He's an edge player. He's an undersized edge player. But man, those tweener edge guys, the undersized ones, they don't have a great hit rate in the NFL. Few prospects like that in this draft that it makes me a little bit worried. Zach Bond out of Wisconsin. Ke'Lavon Chaisson, people are putting him really early, top half of the first round in this draft. He only had 9.5 career sacks. Just those players worry me. They just, because the hit rate's not good, they've got to show a nastiness, an ability to play up and play powerful if they're going to come off the edge. And you have to have a plan for them as a prospect. And Hassan Reddick, the best part of his game was ruined because he was a really good edge pass rusher and they didn't use him out on the edge very much. But Joe Walker beat him out for a job last year. Started a bunch of games, had 65 tackles, played a lot of special teams. I think it was 70% of Arizona's special team snaps. So there you go. You've got a guy with starting NFL experience, special teams value in Joe Walker, 27 years old, so he's still in the prime of his career. And what I like most out of the former seventh-round draft pick, I believe he was drafted in the seventh round by the Eagles in 2016, he was an athlete coming out too. And surprise, surprise, the 49ers signed an athletic player at that position because that's what they're looking for, right? He ran a 4.56 at his Oregon Pro Day in 2016. 37.5-inch vertical jump, 10.4 broad jump, sub-7-second three-cone, 6.81. That's like a wide receiver three-cone time. 23 reps on the bench press, too. So those are wow numbers, which probably is the reason he got drafted, seeing that kind of athletic ability. And even as far back as 2016, which wasn't that long ago, the nickel linebacker trend hadn't hit the NFL as hard as it has now. So he's exactly the modern-day type of linebacker you want. Fits as someone who can play a little outside linebacker for the 49ers, play some special teams, and add some depth to that group, which is important. And he's probably a better player than Elijah Lee, and the 49ers did not tender Elijah Lee contract as a restricted free agent last week when they tendered contracts to Kendrick Bourne and Matt Breida. They did not tender restricted free agent Elijah Lee. So Joe Walker replacing Elijah Lee, he's not going to walk in and be a starter, but he's a depth piece with starting experience, special teams experience. I like it. 1 year, low-cost deal for a valuable player. And I think that was a need, backup linebacker for the 49ers. And it's now a position where they can feel really good about it going into the draft. If they see a player they like, they can still draft him in the mid-rounds. Late rounds, probably not an early draft need. But they don't have to, I think. And I think that helps with the signing of someone like Joe Walker. Really nice fit. And they still have Mark Nzacha on the team, by the way, who's a player that a lot of people thought might potentially get cut, and we'll see if he still hangs around. So got some bodies now at linebacker for the 49ers. And then the other signing was defensive lineman Kerry Hyder. Also a one-year contract. He's got experience with Chris Kucerich and probably not the defensive lineman a lot of people have talked about and wanted recently that has experience from Chris Kucerich's days coaching the defensive line with the Detroit Lions. Ndamukong Suh is a player that a lot of people thought, oh man, there's your guy. Maybe he'll come in on a cheap contract, short-term deal with the 49ers and be part of the group that replaces DeForest Buckner. And I think it will be a group that replaces DeForest Buckner. I don't think you replace, but even with Ndamukong Suh, I don't think you definitely don't replace all of DeForest Buckner's snaps with Suh or any player. And I think the best way to do it is replace him. And I talked about this. It's really the same type of scenario as we saw if it was going to be Eric Armstead who left and they kept DeForest Buckner. You know, slightly different in the way that they play Armstead outside in, you know, end on base downs and then inside. But Eric Armstead's going to see a lot of defensive tackles, so he's going to be part of who replaces DeForest Buckner. Solomon Thomas, obviously a big one. Kerry Hyder, a similar style of player, an outside in guy, a bigger defensive end, 270, 275 pounds, can move inside, rush from the inside. He did have 8 sacks, by the way, in 2016, playing for Chris Kucerich's Detroit Lions. So a nice fit there, kind of a similar role player to what we have in Ronald Blair, I think, right now on that defensive line. So I like the signing. I like both signings, depth pieces, guys with experience, guys that aren't just complete training camp fodder that can really fight for a job. If they don't make the team, that means you had some good players that beat them out and earned it. And if they make the team, they are really good depth pieces and can even get in there and start a game or two if you need them to. So defensive lineman Kerry Hyder, linebacker Joe Walker, one-year deals. I really like it for the 49ers. But yeah, that doesn't mean they can't still add a veteran defensive tackle, more of an interior, true 100% defensive tackle, someone with some beef, whether it's Sue or Snacks Harrison is out there still. There's still some players out there that are veterans, maybe guys that aren't as big named as those guys I just named, but they should be able to find some value on the free agent market. Someone that could play some nose tackle reps, but maybe could give you a little bit of push on some passing downs as well. Just some size inside right now. I think the 49ers still kind of lack, and I would expect them to potentially try to add one more guy that can play inside that could either be the backup to DJ Jones or play next to DJ Jones on a run blocking unit in a jumbo package, in a base package inside, because they don't have a lot of those guys. I want to get more into the defensive line next. Dream draft scenarios. That idea sparked from Daniel Jeremiah's tweet. We'll talk about his specific dream scenarios and we'll get into the mailbag. I mentioned the 49ers don't have a lot of beef inside right now at this point in the offseason. DJ Jones is one of those four stars. Start with base, because I think they have more guys that can mix and match and filter in during nickel. Let's look at the base defensive line for the 49ers. Eric Armstead, strong side end. Nick Bosa, weak side end. Left side, right side, however you want to look at it. Nick Bosa says he prefers playing on the right side. He moved around a lot last year, but predominantly played as the right defensive end. Eric Armstead on the left side. DJ Jones is your one technique, your nose in this defense. And then who's going to play that three tech where it used to be DeForest Buckner? There's a lot of candidates. I mentioned they don't have a lot of beef. Kevin Givens, I guess, would be technically DJ Jones' backup today. Maybe Julian Taylor. Julian Taylor, by the way, looked a lot bigger last year than when he was drafted. I think he was something like 279 pounds when he was drafted. He was in the 290s for sure. I mean, he might be a 300-pound dude right now. I wonder what he's listed. Actually, let's go check out what... I think he was in the 270s when he was drafted officially. I want to see what the 49ers roster officially has him at right now, because 280, they say 6'5", 280. I think he might even be a little bit bigger than that, but I think he would be in that conversation for the three tech spot on base downs, the defensive tackle hole right now. Solomon Thomas, I don't think is that guy. He's smaller than when he was drafted. Julian Taylor went one way. I think he's much bigger than when he was drafted. Solomon Thomas is actually slimmed up a little bit. And who knows what they'll try to get him to do with his body this offseason. Maybe they want him to prepare more to try to play a little three technique. And I think he will be rushing from inside, potentially be him and Armstead inside on most passing downs. But I don't think Solomon Thomas is built for that role of being that defensive tackle on base downs. And he might get a few snaps there, but Julian Taylor will be in the mix, I think. You have the newly signed Kerry Hyder. He's not that player. Ronald Blair's not really that player. A lot of those guys are more base ends that can also rush from the outside, but could rush from the inside. Kentavious Street, same way. So a lot of outside in players right now, but who's that beef? Who's the guy that's going to line up base downs first and 10 next to DJ Jones, a defensive tackle? I still have that question, and there's some players that could do it, but I don't think there's that slam dunk guy. And by the way, Earl Mitchell, I think he's retiring again now. He was the one they signed after DJ Jones went down and went on to IR last year. And it was a drop off from DJ Jones. That's why I would like to see some more depth there and see another player and potentially just have a lot of weight. I mean, put two nose tackles in there. It's first and 10, you know, stuff the inside, bring in Snacks Harrison. I would have no problem having another really big guy there next to DJ Jones inside, kind of like the way that the Seattle Seahawks do that. I like that, you know, and keep those guys fresh, filter them in and out, have one of them on the field sometimes, have both of them on the field sometimes, have neither of them on the field and have the speed in there and have the race car package. Give yourself a lot of depth in a lot of different ways that you could do it. Sheldon Day, by the way, still a free agent, as is Anthony Zettel on the defensive line, but Sheldon Day might be that player who would have had an opportunity to fight for some starting reps at defensive tackle, still a free agent. So I wonder what their plans are with Sheldon Day. But that's where the 49ers are right now, depth-wise, on the defensive line. Obviously, in nickel, they have a lot more flexibility and a lot more things they can do. They could put D Ford out there in base and have Armstead play three tech. They'll definitely have D Ford out there when they go into nickel. Solomon Thomas inside, Eric Armstead inside, Nick Bosa at the other end. Ronald Blair filtering in, so they do have some options there. More options, it seems, in nickel at defensive tackle than they do on base downs. But you're in nickel more often, so maybe that's the proper way to do it. But DJ Jones is the only guy I feel really good about inside in base. Julian Taylor, maybe. I mean, Julian Taylor, I would like to see a full season of him healthy, and I don't know if that's ever going to be in the cards, but that guy's kind of a monster. I'm excited for Solomon Thomas. That's one of the mailbag questions, actually. We might as well start the mailbag a little bit. I'll talk about some draft prospects and Daniel Jeremiah's. There's another question about Kinlaw, too. So we'll get into Kinlaw. We'll get a little bit more into the defensive line, continue that discussion. But I want to talk about Solomon Thomas, and I know there was a question about Solomon Thomas here. It was from William. He says, you talked about it a bit before, but do you think Solomon Thomas can have a season like Eric Armstead? I am assuming he means Eric Armstead last year. He says, I mean, he has talent, and now with what should be more playing time and opportunity, could he finally pop and show why he was the third overall pick? Thanks for the question, William. I don't think we'll ever see the third overall pick value type player, Solomon Thomas. And he is that candidate. He could be that guy because Armstead wasn't quite to the level of bustness that we're feeling from Solomon Thomas. I think there was more flashes from Armstead earlier, and he wasn't as high of a pick. He was, the 17th pick rather than the third pick overall. So it didn't feel as drastic of a bust scenario as it has been with Solomon Thomas. And Solomon Thomas hasn't been a zero. You know, he's been a rotational player, and he kind of had what felt like a lost season after the death of his sister, which was tough. So, you know, removed from that now and having more opportunity, as you mentioned, to get into the lineup. And his strength has always been, he's not a flexible player and he's not a long player. So if you don't have either one of those things, I want to line him up in passing downs as close to the quarterback as possible inside and let him shoot gaps. You know, let him shoot the A gap, let him shoot the B gap, let him try to create havoc that way. Because that's what he did when he was at Stanford, and that's his best strength. So that's what I want to see from him most. And he's got enough size, and he can play some base defensive end as well. So maybe they'll decide that Eric Armstead is big enough and bad enough they want to put him inside, and maybe he just stays at three tech, and maybe he just pretty much plays the role that the Solomon or that DeForest Buckner had last year, and you know, move him around a little bit. And they did move DeForest Buckner around some, and they can play around with that and have a lot of fun there. But maybe they want to try Solomon Thomas at end and then have him kick inside like they did last year with Eric Armstead, and they'll have Eric Armstead playing three tech. I mean, that's a possibility there. And in fact, if it start the season started today, maybe that would be what I would suggest that the 49ers do. But I'm really interested to see what Solomon Thomas has in him and what he's able to do this year. And I don't think the 49ers are going to pick up his fifth year option, which I think they have to make a decision on pretty soon here, because it's just too high for a defensive lineman that's picked that high in the draft. It's just a huge number. So they can't pay that for someone that's performed like he has and hasn't had the production of someone that you're going to pay $15 million a year for next year. So it's a contract year for Solomon Thomas, and he could potentially go earn himself a contract somewhere, maybe even potentially earn himself a second contract with the 49ers. And he could potentially, maybe not to the level that Armstead did last year, but he's not done. Like, he could really have a good season if he's used the right way and gets enough snaps. And I mean, he's got athletic ability. He's got talent. He's got strength. He's got burst. And it starts upstairs. It starts mentally, and then improved technique, more reps. He could have a year. Could absolutely be Solomon Thomas's breakout season. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, NFL.com, former NFL scout. He tweeted out his scenario for the 49ers, his dream scenario for the 49ers. And I was kind of surprised when I saw it. He says, my dream draft for 49ers, pick 13, defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw from South Carolina. Pick 31, trade back, maybe even trade back again. And that's interesting, because adding the 13th pick to me made it not quite as drastic of a necessity to move back from 31, even though the 49ers still don't have a second, third, or fourth round pick. And I think if you can trade back and get some value there from 31, it still makes some sense. But trading back multiple times, the 49ers have five picks in the last three rounds. They have two fifths, a sixth, and two seventh round picks. How many of those players are actually going to make the 49ers 53-man roster right now? So if you're trading back a bunch of times, you're adding fourth rounders, you're adding another fifth, you're adding a sixth rounder, it starts to make less and less sense. If the Niners can get back from 31 and get a second and a third rounder, I'm on board, and that makes sense. Maybe add a fourth rounder too, but I don't think it's volume of picks that necessarily makes sense for the 49ers. They need some quality. So if you're moving back out of 31 and you miss out on this nice tier of second tier wide receivers or cornerbacks because you move down too far, what is a bunch of fourth round picks going to do for you? The 49ers already drafted their punter right now. They don't need another fourth rounder, right? But so trading back makes sense. Trading back multiple times, I'm kind of out on that idea. It's not a necessity. And even trading back from 31, if the right guy falls, I mean, I don't think you have to trade out from there now anymore because you got that number 13 pick. And who knows, maybe they could trade from 13 instead. But trading from 13 might be a little bit touchy because there's only about 16, 17 really blue chip prospects, I think, in this draft. So unless you're only moving back one or two spots, you move back four or five spots, you might be out of those guys too and not even been able to draft Javon Kinlaw as Jeremiah outlines here. But DJ's dream for the 49ers, it's just, I think you could do even better. I mean, dream harder, right? Javon Kinlaw is a good prospect for me, but he's not even in my top 13 players in this draft. So you're talking about a dream scenario. I want the guy who I have five falling to the 49ers at 13, right? So that's kind of the way I look at that. And it's not that it would be a bad draft at all, and Kinlaw would be fine there. Kinlaw I have as a top 15 player. I think he's 14 or 15 actually on my board, and I'm going to look at what my latest rankings were here that are still a work in progress, but I start to feel pretty good about these players now that I didn't think the 49ers were going to have a chance to draft Kinlaw or any of the guys I have ahead of him. Yeah, I have Kinlaw at 15 right now, which is pretty much the end of the tier of players that I hope the 49ers are choosing from. And if they got to 14 or 15, that would mean that maybe only one quarterback, right? Or zero quarterbacks are going in the top 13, which is not going to happen because Joe Burrow is going to go one, Tua is going to be in there somewhere, and probably Justin Herbert. And who knows, maybe four quarterbacks go there, which would help the 49ers. So it would help the 49ers if a bunch of quarterbacks go, or it would help the 49ers if that third quarterback hasn't gone yet and teams are trying to trade up to get him at pick 13 and are willing to give up a ton in trade. And that's maybe how the 49ers could really get some value from 13. Maybe you're getting future picks and still staying in a zone where you think you can get a really good player there in the first round this year. But if you move down too far, you miss out on this group of players. And it's actually 13. It's exactly 13 non-quarterbacks that I have in my group of players that I think the 49ers should be picking from at pick 13. And Javon Kinlaw is the last of those. And I think there's a significant difference the more I've watched them in Kinlaw and Derek Brown. Derek Brown from Auburn is a monster. And both of them are about 6'5", 320. I mean, these dudes are monsters. Derek Brown never goes backwards. He is a beast, and he's the guy, you're going to hear the term dancing bear, and it's a scouting cliche. Derek Brown is definitely that dancing bear. He is a monster. He never goes backwards, but he can slip guys too, and he's got good feet for his size and gets in the backfield a lot, makes a lot of plays. I like Derek Brown a lot, and I like Derek Brown a lot better than I like Kinlaw. Kinlaw's a little bit more raw. Kinlaw, even though he's similarly sized for height and weight, just looks a little bit leaner and longer. And maybe someone you would want to have closer to the edge more so than inside. And people can get under his pads because he plays high a little bit. And that was DeForest Buckner's thing a little bit too. Like, you know, with a tall player, really tall and long player, sometimes interior is not the best spot for you because guys can get under your pads. And I see that with Kinlaw. But then there's reps where he dominates people. And he had a really good Senior Bowl, which really pushed him up here into maybe the top half of round one. And I like Kinlaw. I like Derek Brown better if the 49ers are drafting a defensive tackle in the first round, but I think there's other players, other positions, offensive tackle, wide receiver, maybe corner that I would draft first before Kinlaw. If we're talking about dream scenarios, even though I do like Javon Kinlaw. What's my dream scenario right now for the 49ers? Well, let's get into that and some more mailbag next. And I did a mock draft on the Draft Network mock machine. So this wasn't just me putting whatever players I wanted. And I think this might be the best dream scenario if I was making a dream scenario for the 49ers. And it did involve a trade down, just one. But at 13, and this would be really hard to do, and you'd have to have a lot of guts thinking a wide receiver is going to fall to you at 31 or later. And it's a deep wide receiver class, but you would have to pass on this top tier of these three wide receivers in Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, or Henry Ruggs. And who knows, maybe all three of them are gone and you're forced into this, but going with an offensive tackle at 13, someone like Jedrick Wills, who's my favorite tackle in this class, who could play left tackle in the NFL, could play right tackle in the NFL, but could play guard for a year before Joe Staley retires for the 49ers. So he's a huge upgrade for you at guard while Staley's around. Staley leaves, he kicks out to either right tackle or left tackle, or McGlinchey moves over to left tackle. And now you have your tackle of the future that you don't have to try to, because this is what's difficult about offensive tackle and cornerback. Next year at this time, the 49ers could be drafting, let's say, 32 overall, right? And you might have this massive need for a starting left tackle or a starting cornerback. The 49ers have four defensive backs that are either starters or very key contributors that are going to be free agents next year. Those are first round needs, and those are players that you want to draft even higher than pick 32, let's say, if the 49ers, let's, you know, go and win the Super Bowl ideally, right? Or even if you're in the late 20s, it's hard to find stud starting cornerbacks and offensive tackles from day one, even that late sometimes, and you can find guys. But that's why in this draft I would be looking ahead a little bit. Maybe you can find your heir apparent to Joe Staley, maybe you can find your heir apparent to Richard Sherman with a little bit of luck and develop a guy. And so you go into next year's draft not having that one obvious need where you have to take this certain player. And the 49ers, as we've seen this year, unless the cap goes way, way up and the 49ers have to get a little bit creative, they might not have cap space to sign those players on the free agent market either. So how can they try to get them in this draft? Well, you draft someone like the best offensive tackle available. Ideally, it would be Jedrick Wills out of Alabama, who I think is a fantastic player. I love him in pass protection as a tackle in the NFL, and he fits with his style of play and rooting guys out of there and his movement skills as a guard for a short time for the 49ers. And then the 49ers at, say, 31, or in this mock, after a trade down, I traded with the Colts. Colts came up to get quarterback Jordan Love. It's a scenario that I talked about with Locked On Colts host Evan Sidery on this program last, I think it was Friday, we had talked about this possibility, and he liked it. And they have a couple of extra draft picks on day two to be able to make this type of a move. And you know the 49ers and Colts lines have been open and they have been communicating. So I could see something like this happening if they want to jump up and get their quarterback and still have a second round pick after making that trade. So 49ers moved down to 44. Denzel Mims, one of my favorite wide receivers in this draft, still there. You still get that speed weapon, even though you don't get Ruggs, but you still get some size. He's bigger than all of the wide receivers the 49ers would have drafted in round one. Outside player, can get deep, really good acrobatic catches on the sidelines. Phenomenal workout at 6'3", ran 4.38 at the combine. Insane three-cone too, which he doesn't even play to that kind of athleticism as far as his quicks and his lateral agility, but a fantastic workout for him. I don't think he would make it to 44, but we're talking dream scenario. That's what the 49ers would still be able to do with the pick after trading back from 31. And then in the third round, one of my favorite prospects in this draft that is going completely underrated because he broke his ankle in October, didn't finish the season strong, hasn't had a chance to do medicals and work out, didn't work out at the combine. He was waiting for his pro day, but those pro days aren't happening now. So the 49ers could get lucky and maybe get a break and find a future starting corner who really fits the 49ers scheme well, could play man, can play zone. That's Bryce Hall out of Virginia, 6'1", 200-pounder. Picked him up in round three. I mean, that would be your ideal draft if you want to have a dream scenario. I would dream bigger than Daniel Jeremiah was dreaming in his 49ers dream scenario. But the key to that approach for the Niners, if you drafted either a defensive or offensive lineman at 13, that means you're passing on wide receiver. And that would take a lot of guts, I think, to pass on one of those stud receivers with where the 49ers are at roster-wise, and I think that's the obvious number one need and the potential to draft Ruggs or Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, if any or all of them are on the board at 13, to roll the dice and hope your guy's there at 31 or even later if you trade down, and there's some good receivers, but I don't know if there's that impact. And this class is slightly getting overrated in the wide. I mean, it's been overrated for a while in the wide receiver. This is a good wide receiver class. It's a nice, deep wide receiver class. But I'm not seeing the crazy studs. And it's getting compared to the 2014 class. And as good as some of these receivers are, this is not that class. This class is not that good. You're not just going to kick it in the third round and be like, oh, man, I just got like this stud 100-catch-a-year receiver in round three. And there could be some good players in this draft, but this isn't, it's getting overblown by everyone saying, oh, you can just wait to round three and get this great wide receiver. I don't know if that's exactly the case in this draft, but there are some very good ones, and the 49ers could play it right and get a little bit lucky, and maybe you get a wide receiver, but there could also be that run where none of the really good ones that you like a lot get outside of the top 50, or even maybe even get to 31 or much beyond that. I mean, you could have six or seven go in the, you know, before pick 31 or before pick 40. In this draft. So it'll be very interesting to see how that actually goes, but that would be my dream scenario. All right, I did it again, and I talked too much, and I haven't talked about any of these questions. So let's get to a few of these. Shilly Willy Willy says, scenario, Young, Jeudy, Henderson, Ruggs, Lamb, Okuda, Brown, Kinlaw, all gone at 13. Where do you go? If a quarterback like Tua, Love, or Herbert are still around, what's the minimum package we need offered? The trade offer thing is hard because you just don't know. You have to tell me what team and how far down to go, and I'll tell you what it would take. Best case, it would be a team that's not that far behind the 49ers that want to get up and get a quarterback. It would probably have to be something like the Dolphins. Someone trades up in front of the Dolphins and takes Tua, and then the Dolphins go draft another position at 5, and they didn't get a quarterback yet, and Herbert's still on the board. It's just tough. You would have to tell me what team and where they're picking. It would take a lot for me to move out of 13, I think, just because I know I'm going to get one of these stud blue chip prospects. And even if you went back to 18, that would no longer be guaranteed. But depending on who's there, if you move back from 31, I think you're still talking about a similar caliber, a similar tier of player within the next, you know, 10 or 15 picks. You know, again, depending on how the board falls, if you move from 31, it seems a lot more feasible, a lot easier, and it would cost a lot less for the team moving up, which is part of it, because you need the offer to be able to move down. In that vein, let's talk offensive line here. Trevor says, any second-round offensive line prospects worth looking into? Keep up the great work, man. These pods are helping all of us stay safe and sane. Yeah, thank you very much, Trevor. I appreciate that. And yeah, second-round prospect that I know is a perfect fit that Shanahan will love is Matt Hennessy, center from Temple. I've watched a lot of offensive linemen and defensive linemen recently, seeing if there's anybody in that second round range, and not a great group. especially, the, man, this is a bad defensive line class. After Chase Young, there's like zero good edge players. It's crazy. I don't know if the 49ers can draft a center high unless he's going to start at guard this year. And they restructured Weston Richburg's contract, so they're really locked into him for a short time. But with the injuries with him, I could see center potentially being a position. I know they re-signed Ben Garland too, but if a player like Matt Shaughnessy, who I think would be a perfect fit for Shanahan's scheme, plays guard a little bit, then kicks into center, that guard position is open right now. So offensive line is still something to monitor, I think, even though they have some players that they probably like that could fill it. Tom Compton, they signed. I think he's more of a backup. I think ideally Brunskill plays the same role he did last year, because if he's starting now, who's that super sub player? School played okay last year. I don't feel great about him playing a bunch of games at left tackle, though. Quest for a six-pack, let's finish it here. On that offensive line note, he says, hey, Brian, knowing what we know now, would you be more interested in offensive line or secondary help early? That's tough. I think those positions are pretty well tied for me right now. I would lean toward offensive line just because there's more of a current, like right now, 2020 starter need, but there could be a huge need in the secondary next offseason. Sherman, Witherspoon, Kaywan Williams, Jaquaski Tartt, all going into the final years of their contract. They're all going to be free agents next year unless the 49ers re-up one of those players. And Mosley will be a restricted free agent. Corner is going to be a huge need. That's why I'm thinking, you know, second, third round, it's a deep class of corners. You could draft a guy there and develop him, and hopefully you have that guy who's ready to step in and be a starter. That would take a big load off for the 49ers offseason in 2021 while giving you some nice depth in 2020. All right, that's it for today. We'll keep it going. I'll hit more questions tomorrow with Nick on Winky Wednesday. We'll keep talking draft. It is draft season, and we'll dip into the free agency talk whenever anything else happens. I think it's going to be a pretty slow free agency period the rest of the way for the 49ers, but some potential to make maybe one more little tiny splash of an addition. We'll see if they do, and we'll have it all covered right here, Locked On 49ers.